The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your babyest baby, Griffin McElroy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with a breaking update from the CBN news desk, and that is the Cake Boss News desk.
A hot story from the great state of New Jersey.
New Jersey, just still trying to get all of the particulars in order. Here's what we do know right now. Cake Boss was arrested on DWI charges in Manhattan, driving, swerving around near Hudson Yards.
DWI, of course, standing for driving while I'm the Cake Boss.
Right. Just so you know, prosecutors say that when arrested, the Cake Boss said, and this is not a goof. This is not us generating the story. Travis, do you know this? Do you know what he said? You can't arrest me. I'm the Cake Boss. You can't arrest me. I'm the Cake Boss.
Which would have been great if all the police officers had all gone, oh shit, you're right.
Oh shit.
I forgot about that.
He's got diplomatic immunity, guys. He mastered cake.
And we forgot about Roe v. Betty Crocker.
Yeah.
His life has officially become the first act of a Nicolas Cage movie. Don't you like Weatherman, Family Man, Cake Man? That is the third of his man trilogy.
Now, to be fair, it actually is a case without precedent because he was driving a car that was actually a cake that he baked.
Yeah.
So it's not real. Like, how do you get a Corvette cake up to like 80? I think that's impressive enough.
He stepped out of the cake car, fucking sloshed, fucking slaughtered.
It's a rum cake car.
And then the police officers were like, listen, Cake Boss, I hate to do this. You're a national treasure, but I have to take you to the pokey because you're
drunk.
And
then he ate the car in one bite and said, prove I was driving.
What car?
I was driving. What car? Look behind you. A fat kid just ate it. I think that when Cake Boss is, though, I mean, we all laugh, but if Cake Boss is in a car made of cake, he technically has diplomatic immunity in a cake that he has constructed. So his Cake Boss bona fides hold up because he is inside a cake. He is, in fact, the boss.
Bon appetites.
His bon appetites hold up because he's inside a cake.
Do you think when he got out of the car, the cops were really afraid that he would touch them and they would turn into cake?
That's the only reason that he can turn out cakes at such a high speed and volume.
Is
that
he's told car
he's
trying,
oh my
you
God, listen, the cakes have been people the whole time.
You listen to me, pigs. Don't make me take off the gloves. Don't make me take off the gloves that protect my magic cake hands.
Why isn't it working?
Why isn't it working? God, I'm drunk.
Oh, Cake Boss. Maybe, should we practice, should we like, because I think we're assuming a lot. When you read on paper, and you know what? They used exclamation points in the quote, which is like a journalistic no-no, because it's a leading punctuation, right? Because the way that it's written now, you read it and you think it's like, you can't arrest me, I'm the Cake Boss! Angry like that. But what if it was like kind of sweet? Like, come on, guys. You can't arrest me. I'm the Cake Boss.
Cake Boss.
Or what if the punctuation was all wrong and he said, you can't. Oh, God. Arrest me. I'm the Cake Boss.
Put me in jail for pastry crimes.
Stop me before I bake again.
Oh, God.
So this is an advice show where we try to help Cake Boss navigate the choppy waters of his life. Let's get to actually helping people, because I want to get my help on today. What is the proper etiquette when showering in someone else's home? Are soap/shampoo/other shower accoutrement up for grabs? Is there some sort of unspoken line like shower gel is okay to borrow, but someone's bar soap is gross? Or is using anything in someone else's shower unacceptable? And I'm basically a social pariah for even having to ask this question. That's from Befuddled in Baltimore.
I was thinking that we had answered this question before, and we may have. Time is a fucking flat circle. And we've been doing this for like 800 years. But I think I was actually thinking of like episode 2, which was 223 episodes ago, where we talked about peeing in the shower at somebody else's house.
Right.
And I'm almost certain that we probably wang that one. And time and maturity would allow us to come up with a much better answer. So I guess this is new territory. And I'd say, yeah, go for it.
I think the line is... what touches the body. So like,
oh yeah,
liquid soap, yes. Loofah, no.
Here's the thing. I want to go with you. I want to say yes, Justin. I want to agree, but I know that I've used other people's loofahs before.
Oh
there,
my God.
I said it.
You haven't
well,
used
because,
not my
well,
loofah.
You're,
certainly
here's
not
the
mine.
Thing. You're applying water and soap to it. Like you're inherently washing it as you wash yourself. Like what, or unless you have just gotten back from like working in a slaughterhouse, what horrible things are you scraping off your body?
Ball essence.
Slivers of balls.
Well, then otherwise you're just going to use their fancy products and what, put them in like the palm of your hand and scrub yourself like a Neanderthal?
Yeah.
Yes. That's how I've been bathing myself. I can't even have a loofah in my home anymore because sometimes you're at my house and God knows you might just slip up there. Slip up there and treat yourself to a little scrubby scrub.
Well, I bathe several times a day.
That's true.
I think that staying at someone's house and using their shower products, let's take loofahs out of the equation, is like staying at a hotel and using it. Like, because then where else do you draw the... Because if you say no, then do you just get in and use water and pretend like that's it?
Okay, first off... Maybe you have some special soap that you like.
That's going to be the problem. Is if you get this, I got that in my Birchbox yesterday. I was really looking forward to using that plush tea tree oil shampoo, and now it's all gone.
Now it's gone, gonzo.
You drank it? God damn it!
God damn it, Cake Boss, you have a problem. Get out of my house. Why did I ever let you in here? No, I mean, but this is the thing, right? With everything like this. There's always a double standard. There is what we, the hosts of a comedy advice podcast, will tell you. I mean, there's what you're going to do when no one's looking, which is always going to be different.
But
we all have our little secrets that we do in the secret behind the curtain. Come behind the curtain.
Is it too much for us to ask that everybody who listens to this show live their lives through the lens of imagining that we are constantly watching them wherever they are, no matter what they're doing? Our eyes are on you.
And it's like a judgment thing. It's not like a sexy thing, okay?
It can be it won't be for us. It's imaginary in your brain. If you want it to be a sexy thing, go ahead. It's your play space.
Ooh, yeah. I just had an idea. This could be what all of those hotel baths and so, you know, the soaps and stuff that you steal are for. Like, make a little basket, keep it in your linen closet, and then when you have guests stay with you, like, you set it out, like, you set out their towels and washcloths and stuff.
I don't have any problem with somebody using my shampoo. Like, use my shampoo and conditioner, treat yourself. Don't rub things on your things that go on my things. I want no thing to thing.
You should cross-stitch that over your toilet.
Yeah, keep your things off my things.
Keep your things off my things. Ebola is real.
Here's another factor that we're not considering is that my wife's shower products have a very distinctive smell. And if Travis walks out of the master bathroom at the Griffin and Rachel McElroy estate, smelling like my wife, I'm going to be fucking furious with you.
Are you afraid that you'll just, like, Pavlovian response, become aroused? You'll be attracted to me in a weird way, and you won't be able to put your finger on it?
I'll be able to put my finger directly on it.
Can we go one fucking week on the show without one of us trying to ramp up the sexual tension?
Will they? Will
I refuse
they?
To let this become a Ross and Ross and Rachel show.
Listen.
This is not happening.
It's our Tumblr / fiction game is falling off. There just are not enough fans shipping us, and it's a problem, and our stock is slipping.
That's what people want. Maybe in our webisodes that you can get with our companion app.
That don't exist. Don't tell exist. People that. It doesn't exist. Do you guys follow me, Yahoo?
Absolutely.
I'm cleaning my glasses real quick.
Dramatically?
Hold on. I couldn't see the screen because my glasses were dirty. Okay. You guys ready for Yahoo?
Yeah. Go for it, dirty boy.
This Yahoo was sent in by Sarah Benson. Thank you, Sarah. It's by Yahoo Answers user Nathan, who asks, what should you do when you see your principal buy beer? What should you do when you see your principal buy beer? And I hit that hard P there, that plosive P, because they spelled the goddamn word wrong. That's how you know that it's, by the way, a legit Yahoo Answers and not some fakey fake jokey joke bullshit. Is if they spell a word wrong, usually it's a 12-year-old. This Nathan, by the way, has been a member since October 31st, 2014. So something tells me Nathan was maybe at the Speedway on Halloween and saw his principal getting ready to get fucking wrecked.
Okay. I think about this, and at first I want to jump to, like, oh, you stupid. He's always buying. But then I think about, what if I was 12 and I saw my principal in the wild, like, buying beer? Like, I would have thought that was scandalous.
I never saw.
Okay. I would have thought he might as well, like, be buying crystal meth.
Here's a weird thought exercise for everybody. Think about all the times that you've seen teachers in the wild. We've all done that. I feel like we talked about that on the show, that none of them ever remember us, which is devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nobody ever sees a principal in the wild. That just doesn't happen. They are the fucking scariest human beings on earth when you're 12 years old, and they don't exist outside of the school. They're fucking holograms projected by the ghost heart of the school.
That was always the weird thing about the principal. Like, when I was in school, they seemed to be in another, like, I didn't get sent to the principal's office, right? I was a good kid. But there did seem to be kids that got sent to the principal's office a lot that seemed to have developed, like, whenever I'd walk by and see them in there, there seemed to be some sort of camaraderie in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a principal.
For, like, the repeat offenders, they seemed to, like, hang out a lot, and that they had developed some sort of affinity for them. I was always a little jealous, but I wasn't going to, like, live the life that demanded me in the principal's office.
Do you think that after a while it becomes, like, yours and the principal's secret tea time? And it's like, see you back again tomorrow at about 11? Yep. I know you hate math, Jim. I'll see you down here.
As sort of earth-shattering as it might have been to see my principal buying beer when I was a kid, I think I would run an equal risk of having my perception shipped to them now as an adult, seeing what beer they buy.
Oh, my right? God.
If I'm walking in and, like, this person who has been sort of an authority figure, almost a messianic figure in my life, and I see them with a case of Beast. Like, I can't with this.
Is Mr. Leg buying a cube of Mike's Hard Lemonade?
Is that a cube of Limeritas?
I hope that's for, like, a party and not just for him. Certainly, he's not just buying, like, 24 for himself.
Tell me you're fucking buying ironic cranberitas, because I cannot. I cannot see you as an authority figure.
Where does he have just a bag of Buzz Balls?
Where did Mrs. Okay? Where did Mrs. Scott even find Four Loko?
Is that Five Loko?
Is that Five Loko? An even more illegal version of Four Loko that they only sell to principals?
If I don't go to sleep, Monday can't come.
Oh, shit. Just
that should be the fucking slogan of Sparks and Four Loko. If you don't go to sleep, Monday can't come.
I would say you maybe do a little bit of extortion here, and you walk up and you say, hey, Miss Scott, those Five Lokos look tall and delicious, and you're going to have a really great time with them, but I am going to put you on blast come Monday, unless maybe you sign me and Bryce here a couple cans. And then you and Bryce go and you squirrel them away in his loft, and then it's your secret treasure forever.
It's weird. Yeah, you gotta go House of Cards. You gotta take the picture with your camera first, mm-hmm. and then say, "Oh, it would be such a shame if this got Snapchatted." And if it got Snapchatted, you would have no idea of how to access it or find it or anything, because Snapchat is the secret
teenage cabal. And then you go eat some ribs. I haven't seen very much of the show.
And then you go to the poker tournament. It's because it's cards. It's weird to me. I'm sitting here thinking, like, there's so many, like, stereotypes and thoughts that we all have about teachers.
Yeah.
And I don't really have those about
anything
principals.
About principals. And principals are just, like, super teachers. They're teachers who fucking evolved.
Because I wanted say, like, isn't it like the principal's right and duty to have a beer because he's got to deal with kids all day long? And then I was like, wait, hold on. Who's to say that they do? Maybe they're new just segment. Sitting there going, I hope someone gets in trouble today.
New segment on the show, Principal Watch. If you are a principal listening to this show, or you're in close contact with a principal outside of a school setting, give us the dirt. We want to know all your principal stories. Principal Watch.
I feel like every school I went to, the standard was that the principal was like this totally hands-off leader that nobody ever saw except at like pep rallies. But the vice principal was a fucking badass that would like wreck you if you stepped out of line. Like that was the person that you really had to be afraid of.
Man, I would go drunk. I would go power mad.
Yeah.
I would. You know, I always judged, you know, you judge the vice principal. It's very easy to judge the vice principal when you're young. Like, oh, that guy's such a creep. I would be the absolute worst.
How come we never hear more about vice principals conspiring to kill the principal to become them?
Just why don't we hear more about that? It's 2014.
The answer is that, of course, they are a ghost that is projected by the ghost heart of the school. Everyone knows this. This is common. How about another question?
There's a guy at work who I get the feeling is into me. However, I'm not keen on dating a coworker, and I've told him this. He's smart, he's funny, he's charming, and we match really well. He would be perfect for me, except for the work thing, and I'm not super attracted to
him. Then,
okay. So just then those that's two not things. It's
like, let me just as one. I am starting to like him more as we become friends. My girlfriend warned. This is the. By the way, your grandkids are gonna love this meet cute. Wow, what a fucking sweeping romance this is. My girlfriend warned me he may be doing the wear down method, the passive aggressive. Maybe she'll see me as something more one day method. Is that real? I kind of think it's starting to work. What should I do, brothers? That's from Can't Decide in Canada. I cannot believe you've done this. I can't believe
you've worked for 226 episodes to convince people not to do this thing you're talking about.
And now you're reinforcing this thing.
Doing it.
Is this a thing? Of course it's a thing.
And, well, is it a thing, though?
It's the ducky. I call it the ducky. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the method as anything other than the ducky.
The is this good enough? That's what Ducky sounds like in my mind. I haven't seen the movie. Is it a thing? I think I'm uncomfortable with the term wear down, because that intimates that there's like, I don't know, that you have this thick lustrous chitin that this person is eroding by just like being nice, I guess.
Here, Griffin, let me put it in this context. If you are just friends with the person, and by you, I mean the person that would do the wear down, quote unquote. If you were just friends with no ulterior motive, and then one day it's like both of you kind of realize you have feelings for each other, then you're just getting to know each other and you grow closer together. If you have feelings for the person from the beginning and they tell you that you're not interested and you put all your effort and set your sights onto convincing them to like you, that's called wearing down. Like, there's no other word for it in my mind than, like, I'm going to wear them down.
But it doesn't, I mean, there's nothing in this question, though, that makes it sound like they're, except for the fact that the The friend thinks that he's wearing them down, but based on what this question asker has said, she gets the feeling that he's into her. She told him that he's not. She doesn't want to date a coworker, right? But it doesn't. She didn't say like, and then like he keeps buying me chocolate. It's not.
The weird factor in here is like, if you're not super attracted to him, when you say you're just like starting to like him more, do you mean like as a person? Like he's fun to be around and you enjoy his friendship? Because unless like you become more and more attracted to him, along with liking him more, then that just means you're becoming friends with someone.
I think the idea of the wear down method is gross. And we've talked about that before, of like approaching friendship with the ultimate ulterior motive of I'm trying to hit that. Please. Mm-hmm. Please may I hit it. That sucks, right? That's rough. But don't let yourself be so skeptical of a person's like friendliness that you just like immediately assume like, oh, you're trying to hit this, please.
Do you know how you know?
How you know, Joe?
It's in his jokes. It's in his jokes.
Stop it. It's not.
It is because if like he's occasionally dropping something like, well, I guess we look pretty cute together today, huh? Oh, matching sweaters, like yeah. That kind of thing. Then it's he like, knows. Oh, okay. He's like testing the waters with those jokes to see how you respond to them.
Yeah.
That's, I think, like the greatest like clue that someone is trying to do the quote unquote wear down.
Like, this is a challenge because I act like I'm into everybody.
Yeah.
Man and woman. That's just me. You know,
animal, I act like I'm animal, everybody. Mineral, vegetable,
plasma. Yeah,
I'm a flirt machine. I'll flirt with anything. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Justin flirted with the sun yesterday.
I flirted with the sun like Icarus.
He flirted with failure.
We're all flirting with failure here.
I think that should be the name of the show. It sounds like she's overthinking this. Maybe he or she. I guess I should say because it's not quantified here. It sounds like maybe overthinking it, like maybe just kind of like go with the flow and see how you feel. But like, I don't know.
Just do what you're comfortable. Just do what you're comfortable with.
Do you?
Just
and,
do you.
And if it becomes clear that he is still interested in you, whether he's wearing you down or not, that's not important. If it becomes clear that he's still interested in you and you are not interested in him or interested in dating a coworker, then maybe you just need to stop spending so much time with him. Or, I mean, you've already said it to him that you're not interested in dating a coworker. So if he doesn't listen to that, then you just need to stop spending time with him if you don't want to spend time with him anymore. Like, you're under no obligation to become closer with this dude.
It's weird because there's actually two kind of issues that are being dealt with here. On the one hand, it's this idea of the wear down. But on the other, it's this the idea of not dating a coworker. So, I mean, I don't know if your resolve is slipping there, like if that's the sort of the issue, or it's just your feelings in general for him. Because I think that your rule about not dating a coworker is like the best. Mm-hmm. It's very, except that as a rule.
That can be very sexy.
Very.
It can be.
However, that rule falls into the same kind of category for me as when people say, like, I just want to focus on schoolwork, or I'm just not looking for a relationship right now. Like, it's a really good rule to have until you, like, meet that person who just blows you away. And you're like,
what if
fuck
it's
it.
Love? What if it's
love? What if it's love?
That's what I'm saying.
How about a Yahoo?
Okay.
This Yahoo was sent in by Rachel Sperling, who has been killing it lately. Game Recognize game, Rachel Sperling. Yahoo Answers user mobile. Member since
that's the driver from Die Hard.
Member since November 13th, 2014. The Yahoo Answer service is fucking expanding. It's blowing up. New users. Mobile asks, what happens if I drink water without interruption? Would my pee keep going? Could I pee like this forever? Could I pee like this? Is it possible that I could pee like this forever?
Dream come true?
I don't want to close my eyes.
I don't want to stop this pee.
Oh, man. Could you just turn yourself into a beautiful Greco-Roman fountain?
We learned from Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, that if you drink some water, you can immediately start peeing again.
What?
He does that in a scene because he unplugs the fountain And then he's worried the guard will notice that the fountain's not on anymore.
So he starts being,
yeah, and he's eating some asparagus in there. And then that's how he gets caught, because the guard can smell the asparagus in his pee that he just ate and immediately peed out.
Two questions.
Why did they stop making these movies?
Yeah, fuck me. God damn, comedy gold. And we just decided to leave that gold buried.
And I want to clarify, correction, it was in gold member.
Okay, that's why I don't remember it, because I've moved it poopy garbage. Could I pee like this forever? Could I pee like this forever?
All right, now let's actually look at this.
Let's think about it.
We know that if you drink water later, you will pee.
Comes out of you.
Right. I think the problem, so that system is working. I think the problem would be that the lead on the pee that you would need would be so I don't think you'd be able to drink enough before the pee started to keep it going permanently.
But I think that in this fiction that Mobile has created, he's saying, or she's saying, what if it was just like I could keep drinking, like quantity, capacity was not an issue.
Scientifically, how much you displace, right? Pints per minute. You got to look at your PPM. And then you measure that, and then you just displace that by drinking the same amount of water. And you're not going to be chugging, you know? The pee doesn't fall out of you that quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think as long as you displace it like that and you keep it going, you keep it floating, keep the stream rolling, big wheel keep on turning, then you're going to be able to turn yourself into a beautiful fountain like in that hilarious Goldmember movie.
But then the question is, like, how much water turns into how much pee? Like, are you taking
1-to-1? 1-to-1. You add some yellow in there somewhere in your body, probably in the gallbladder, and then it's ready to go, ready to ship that product out.
Could this work?
Yes.
For another?
Oh, thing? Justin.
Could you become a dirt machine?
Justin.
A dirt machine.
You shouldn't have.
You eat the food. You eat a taco, pizza.
Justin, okay.
Ramen noodle, dirt machine.
You, I feel like, are the most equipped to make this experiment happen with your baby.
What is that supposed to mean?
With your baby, because... your baby, as a baby, the pipes there are so short pipes. That's probably like a 15-minute exchange, all told.
I think what you're describing leads to a pretty chilly reception from the jury on my part. I think what you're describing, guys, is a fairly cold shoulder from a jury of my peers.
And in conclusion, science.
In conclusion, I was trying to discover science.
I'll take myself to jail now.
Thank me.
I will go to jail now.
I asked myself, can I? But I never asked myself, should I? But if I had, the answer still would have been yes, because it was pretty great.
So now I'm slapping it on a lunchbox. And I'm selling it.
Money Zone?
Yeah.
I am starving. We're recording this on a rare Saturday morning, and my hunger is off the charts right now.
Do you guys have any big like Saturday plans that maybe you'll be snacking during?
We got that. I gotta watch Marshall beat Rice.
Go herd.
I've got a herd on.
I've got a herd on too, Travis.
We've all got herds on. I have thundering herd erectile dysfunction.
I have a semi herd on.
Have you guys ever noticed that sounds like hard on?
Oh my god, you're right.
Guys, tell me about Nature Box.
Nature Box is gonna give you some free snacks. How does that sound? Here's the thing. They're delicious, wholesome snacks available at naturebox.com. It's like a subscription service. You tell them which of their snacks that you want to try, and they will send you a box of them in the mail every month. Now, but before you like commit to that, because that's a lot to commit to, they're going to send you a free trial sampler to enjoy all on your own. Can you imagine?
I can because people are tweeting at us all the time with pictures of their free cocoa.
And I can because I'm eating Nature Box right now.
Yeah. What are you noshing?
I've got some plantain chips, which I thought would be sweet and are actually savory and super good.
Yeah, plantains like are just chips. A palette for spices to be painted on.
I want to talk about clusters this week.
Oh,
that's
shit.
What I'm into this week.
Like black scientific?
Sesame seed, black sesame seed clusters. Mm, those are limited edition through December, so you don't want to miss out on that. Blueberry almond bites, which I love. Cashew power clusters. That's what the Transformers were fighting over, if I remember correctly.
We have to retrieve the cashew power clusters.
If you want to get your free box and start dipping in, go to naturebox.com/mybrother, and you're gonna. It won't cost you money. It's a free trial box,
and you're not gonna get artificial flavors or colors or sweeteners. And there's no trans fats or high fructose corn syrup.
You're just gonna get fed and full and happy
from nature.
From nature, for once.
Go to naturebox.com/mybrother and get a free trial box of delicious snacks.
Isn't it time that nature gave something back to you?
Now, say I love my trial box and I decide immediately that I want to purchase $35,000 worth of Nature Box snacks.
Mm-hmm. You would be making a wise investment.
I am a hoarder. The doomsday is just around the corner. The polar vortex is killing us all. It's already started. Read the newspapers, by which I mean the underground newspapers, the only ones that are really telling the truth about this goddamn polar vortex that seems, it's such an oddity. We never get these polar vortexes. Is that because it feels like we get them about every 6 months now? So just read the literature.
You have what were a we fucking point
doing?
$35,000 worth of snacks from Nature Box.
So face it.
Oh, I need $35,000.
That's right. So maybe you need $35,000 to hoard. Or maybe you need $35,000 to fix your home. Or maybe you need some money to go back to school. Or maybe you need to get car repairs that you can't afford. Or dental work. Or medical bills. Well, there's a peer-to-peer lending service called Prosper.com that you should check out. And basically how it works is instead of going to a bank and dealing with all of the bank interactions and working
that
with people
bank
who do not
smell.
Care about you. That old bank smell that ugh. Smells like money and greed.
It smells
and
like
those pin
smells,
chains.
It smells like wet change.
Ugh. Instead, you just go to prosper.com and you put in what you need the loan for and how much you need. And then other users of the site decide if they want to invest in your loan or not. So that way, rather than one location giving you all of that money, it's several different people. It's many, many people all contributing into your loan, and then you're paying them back. So it cuts out the middleman. I mean, that's what banks do anyways. If you put money into a bank, that money is what goes into other people's loans. So why not cut out the middleman? Maybe save a little money.
Yeah, it's basically like the end of It's a Wonderful Life. Just you don't have to be a good person.
Yeah.
You could actually be it's the end of It's a Wonderful Life, but even the bad guy from It's a Wonderful Life can get it. Because nobody knows what kind of person you are on the internet.
Bad. If you're on the internet, you're a bad person.
If you want to go check your rate and see if you would qualify for a low rate, you can do so instantly without affecting your good credit. If you just go to prosper.com/mybrother and check your rate. And also, right now, listeners of this show, if you get a loan through prosper.com, you'll automatically get a free $50 Visa gift card that you can use in any way you want to. So on top of the loan you're getting, you're also just getting $50 that you'll never have to pay back. And that's just free money. And in America, that free money is better than, I don't know, seeing your principal buy beer. And so
you can buy your principal 2 cubes of Beast with that kind of scratch.
At least. If you find it on sale, like a Black Friday Beast sale, which I assume happens.
Cool. Day after Thanksgiving plans.
Other restrictions apply. See site for program and Visa prepaid card details. All personal loans are made by WebBank, Utah Chartered Industrial Bank, member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender. Booyah. I got a message for Blair, and it's from, get this, a lice. I guess it's like a lice bug.
Griffin.
Did you like that joke?
Griffin. God, I'm the dad on the show.
I wish we could just get a fucking focus group to do one of our episodes for us live and just tell us what jokes are amazing and which jokes are just pretty good, like that one.
Dear Blairy, you deserve to hear how awesome you are from as many people as possible. So why not three, count them, three McElroys? I am always impressed by your strength of character and your devotion to the people and things that you love. You're a total badass and should never, ever doubt it. I love you, big sister. Don't ever stop being a beautiful oak tree.
Hold the goddamn phone. Oh, shit,
that's like the nicest one we've ever
Twilight.
Had.
Twilight zoned.
Yeah, you really flipped it on us there at the end. I gotta say, Alice, this is a very sweet message that you've given to your big sister Blair, but it's gonna fall on deaf ears, which is to say no ears, because she's a tree.
Tree Shyamalan.
Unless she's like an int.
Oh my god, what if she's a proto-int and you play the message for her and a little bit of sap comes out of where her eye holes would be?
Chelsea Handler vehicle My Sister the Ent only lasted three episodes, and I think that is a crying shame. She deserved better. Carla, got a message for you coming from Dan. What does Dan have to say, Trev?
Dan says, the past 3 years have been the best of my life. Even during the parts with all the problems, you made me want to be a better me and gave me a whole new appreciation for Finding Nemo. I love you, and I look forward to many years of mutual love and one true football.
To many years of mutual love of the one true football.
I made it better.
I don't think you did. I think you broke it.
With my accidental words. These are like both really nice.
It is,
like,
but again, I'm so now unaccustomed.
I'm so much more used to hit me up on my mobile.
Yeah, which is fine. Which is great.
It's fine.
But again, this one has like a twist mystery at the end. A twistery, doesn't it? There at the end. Because it's Dana football.
Is Dan a football? I don't think Dan's a football.
Do they have a pet football? Maybe the two of them together love a football.
Maybe they're both footballs. In which case, who sent this message in? It's a twist. Well, it's Griffin, a twistery.
Griffin, really, if you think about it, aren't we all footballs?
Ooh, wait, let me check. Wait, I don't have arms and legs. I'm all leathery and laced up. It's a twistery.
What if God was a football?
Delicious, delicious twistery.
We can only see out our eyes. We can't look down at our hands. So we could have been footballs this whole time.
Oh, but Bruce Willis is the only non-football.
Oh, my God.
And if you really look back over the movie, the clues were all there.
Because all the characters were footballs.
And Haley Joel Osment just kept kicking them.
Haley Joel Osment actually kind of looks like a football now. I don't know if you've seen him lately.
Come on,
it's a good look. I think a football is the most handsome of all the balls.
He's like a living Hey Arnold. Is what
no,
you're saying. Hey,
I meant like vertically oriented.
We're never gonna get him on the show now. Damn it.
Hey. Feeling lonely? My name's Jesse Thorne.
My name's Jordan Morris. Do you want to listen to a program where two good friends get intimate with amazing guests like Maria Bamford, Rob Corddry, and other comedy superstars?
Jordan Jesse Go is here for you.
Every week we'll spill our guts for you and then make some jokes.
Jordan Jesse Go, free at MaximumFun.org.
My boyfriend and I have been together for 25 years and lived
2.5 years. Holy shit.
Travis, read it. I'm done. I'm out the game.
My boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years and living together for the last year. Lately, I feel like we have grown apart. What is the least shitty way to break up with someone?
Oh my God.
That's from It's Not Me, It's Utah.
That's a cool amazing
choice for our comedy show.
Pretty scraps. Great Saturday morning cartoon here for us.
Listen, it's a topic we haven't covered, and I feel like there's a lot of help to give here.
You know what? You know what the least shitty way is? The least shitty way for the other person. Not for you, because that's what's fucked up, is it is an inverse relationship. Mm-hmm. The more shitty it is for you, the less shitty it is for them. And so if you want to actually do this, and you want to do it right, it's going to be fucking miserable for you.
And you're going to have to fake your own death.
No.
That's the
least shitty way for you.
I think that's pretty good.
No, the least shitty way for the other person is direct and like honest and just say like, hey, I don't think it's changed and I don't feel the same way. And then you have to just like sit there and take
and
whatever they give you.
And just fucking take it.
Open your jaw and swallow.
Swallow that.
Swallow all of the anger or sadness or pain in their eyes or whatever. And then you also, if you're the instigator, you got to deal with a lot more fallout from like your friends and neighbors and all of those people that you know in town that have gotten to know you guys as a couple. And you share a lot of stuff because you live together. And I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying as the instigator, it's usually a lot more
that falls on ass. You. The thing that I think I learned during like my dating career was that like, don't check out so much before you break up with the person that all you can think about is how fucking sweet it's gonna be after you don't have this horrible thing in front of you anymore. If you don't treat this thing with the respect that like the length of your relationship, like the amount of credit that has earned with you, like if you don't keep in mind like how much time and energy the both of you have put into this thing while considering your options for how to break up with the person, you are doing both of you a fucking enormous disservice.
The grown apart is like the worst way of breaking up. Like that's the, because it may come out of absolute clear blue sky for the other person, like no clue.
Or I would say the other side of that coin is if you hesitate and you, like, if right now, this second, you know it's not working and you are mentally ready to break up with them, and then you put it off for, like, a couple weeks because you're not ready to actually do it yet, and then your behavior changes, your attitude towards them change, and it just is hell for the next 4 weeks.
Trav, could you use that time to start seeding it, though, so it's not such a complete like, could you start saying things like, oh, I could use some more space?
Or like, do you want to rent the Jennifer Aniston movie, The Breakup, again?
No, guys, because that's just a way of making, of spreading the worstness out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not going to be less shitty for this person to get dumped if they just do it all at once. It's going to be more, way more shitty for them to see it coming, to have this like nice thing like sort of go sour, and then ultimately when it ends, like it's gonna hurt just as much anyway.
Have you guys, here's a question for you, have you been dumped or dumped more? What has happened to you more? Have you been the dumper or the dumpee?
I have been more? Dumped more.
Okay. Griffin?
Justin, this is a fucking trap because I it's gonna make me sound like a douche because I've definitely dumped. Dump Ed more.
I see, got really
bad. We have a great representation here because I'm right down the middle.
He split the uprights. one and one.
I'm one and one.
I got to, my problem was, especially like in college, that I would usually, if I was no longer interested in continuing the relationship, would just kind of act like a jerk until it ended so that I wouldn't have to do it.
You know what I mean? I don't.
Need to amend. I have dumped more, and the one extra that I had forgotten about, sorry, madam, I told I was moving soon. I was moving soon. Then I couldn't pursue a relationship because I was moving soon.
But that's weird because I feel like you've lived in Huntington basically your whole life.
I didn't end up going through with the move.
Okay.
Wait, no, at the time, were you honestly planning to move and changed your mind?
I was young. I had a lot of options in front of me, perhaps. I mean, hell, I don't know. It's a big wide world out there.
It was potential energy that brought that.
Right.
No, it's, I, here's the thing. I feel, oh God. Whenever I got dumped, it was always sudden out of the clear blue sky. And whenever I dumped, it was, I would always just let it fucking fester like this. And that's why I got it, like, you can't do it. It's
like an infected limb.
Yeah, it's really, really horrible. I think also, can we just agree, as a fucking nation, as a world, ground rules, nothing with written words. No emails, no goddamn texts, no AIMs. Nobody wants to bloop, we're done. That's the sound of the instant message.
And as comforting as you feel like or protective, don't like go out to a restaurant and dump somebody in a restaurant. Like do it
unless you like, I don't know, unless you need a safe space to do it.
Well, that's true.
It's just like,
is there a place you could do it? Okay. Is there a place that you could dump someone, a place or a time or whatever? Is there a place where you could dump someone where they might be able to, because of the place they are in, could like convert it to where they can almost instantly get over it?
Dave and Buster's. That's what Dave and Buster's is for. Oh, man, that sucks. Let me get an onion ring tower. And oh, my God, you guys have a fisherman's bait here. This is going to be great. I'm going to eat this onion ring tower, and then I'm going to go play that deep sea shooter game that Sega made.
Griffin, you write about video games for a living, and it took you 10 seconds to pull an arcade game. I'm so disappointed.
And your poll was fisherman's bait.
Oh, I'm so frustrated. I'm going to go play Silent Scope. And then they go play Silent Scope, and then they're fine. And they won enough tickets to get a new girlfriend.
That is not how that works. That is not how that works.
Oh, God. Is a phone... Can we establish it? No. As long as we're writing up the Articles of Confederation here, is a phone call okay?
Within 2 months. If you've only been dating 2 months. But 2.5 years, and you're living together, that's not a phone call.
I recuse myself from the question.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my jam. But it was also my jam because it was like situations like this where it was like, oh, we've grown very, very far apart and we both kind of know this thing is coming. That's the other thing. Like, that is another dynamic entirely of if both of you think this thing is about to like come crashing down, then it's almost like a relief to end it. You know what I mean? Because we don't know how your boyfriend feels. If your boyfriend is like in the same boat as you, then maybe the breakup won't be as, like... I mean, it'll be very, very sad, but maybe it won't be as, like, hyper-painful.
Maybe it'll be a relief to some degree.
Right. I think when a bad relationship ends that both people are unhappy with, when that ends, that is a good thing for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. And it will suck at first. I mean, no matter what. Like, even if you have grown apart. But, like, that's the nature of it. That's the nature of the beast. So, just do it.
Can I make a recommendation, though? Please, please try to have your shit boxed up. Please try to be a little bit prepared for what's going to happen next, because one of you is going to have to, A, carry that lease by yourself. You're going to have to pay the rent by yourself, and the other one's going to have to move. Like, please have an exfil strategy.
I've had friends that have been living with people and broken up, like, 3 months into a year-long lease, and then have continued, like, living under the same roof, but as exes, because neither That's one like disaster. Could screw the other. It just sounds like
Is it?
The okay, most purgatorial like, could
you,
shit.
Could you, like, could that be?
No.
Could you, like, use that to transition into, like, being okay with it? Could you use that for closure? Is that possible? Has anyone ever successfully done
Nobody
that?
Nobody ever.
No, because the problem is, like, even if it's, like, a two-bedroom house and you're living in separate rooms, like, what are you supposed to do? Start dating again? Like... Or then you're still just hanging out all the time.
I guess it worked on New Girl.
Spoilers. You guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by level 44 Yahoo Shaman, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Drew Answers user Christian, member since July 22nd, 2013. An aged veteran who asks... Reaching for a dollar? Someone bent down to pick up a dollar outside the pharmacy. She almost had it when I stomped on it and picked it up. I scared her badly, and I feel bad. I apologize for scaring her, but she still looks confused. Should I have apologized more? So this is just as hard as the last question, I feel like.
Okay, wait. Break it down for me again.
Okay. Someone bent down to pick up a dollar outside of the pharmacy. Oh, she almost had it, but then this person stomped on it and picked it up. That is, okay, again, game, recognize game. That is good dollar pickup strategy, because if someone's giving the old fishing line, you're not going anywhere, you fucking Washington. Get you. So,
do you think that this question asker, like, watched and watched, like, oh, she's almost got it, okay.
And then leapt 45 feet into the air.
Not today, Grandma.
Went Super Saiyan, and then butt stomped right down on this dollar bill.
You were probably thinking about using that dollar bill to buy your grandson candy.
Did not you need this for pills?
If you guys see a dollar on the ground, you better pick it up, right?
No. Mm-hmm. And what denomination? What how?
What denomination? I said a dollar, so a dollar.
One, a single dollar bill? Are you fucking kidding me with my back?
That's so why no. I keep my grabber arm with me.
If you see a 50 outside of a business, do you take it into the business to I found this outside, so in case someone comes looking for it?
Just like the legendary Dracul, it all depends on the threshold. If it is outside, it is fair game.
Yeah. If it's inside, it's fair game. For a 50, I would fight everybody around me in a 100-foot radius like I was in fucking Battle Royale. I would fight everyone for that shit. It would be like the opening scene in Ong Bak, just like me fucking climbing a tree to get to the $50 bill on top, just like kicking dudes to the ground. No way! $50 bill? $10 more, I can buy a new AAA video game. Fuck off. But see, that's the thing, though. I don't bend over for a single, but if I did 50 times... The reason I wanted us to address this question is because I feel like it tackles a lot of really tough subjects, like embarrassing yourself by bending over to pick up garbage off the ground, because that's what it is. Thievery, potentially, because that might be somebody else's dollar. It might be this person's dollar that they literally just dropped, and you were standing behind this person, tailing them, waiting for them to drop currency. And then when they did, you swooped it.
I think my favorite part of this question is the question asker's like confusion at the other person's confusion. Like, why would they be confused? Well, because like you waited till they almost had it and then you stomped your foot down on it.
You followed this person for 7 blocks and they were like, whoops. And you were like, mine. It's your.
And then they were admittedly confused.
And they were confused because they have never seen a fucking bridge troll in their life before.
You guys throw pennies on the ground?
Oh, God, yeah.
To feed birds?
When we were in Japan, I racked up a lot of 1 yen coins. And I don't know if you guys know how the yen works, but it's basically 100 of those equals $1. So 1 yen, the coins are like made out of like play school, like plastic. They're the shittiest, worst coins. And I racked up like 700 of them while we were there. And I literally, the day we left, I put them all in a can and I threw the can away, threw it right in the garbage. Because, like, nobody takes them. Nobody wants those.
I had a friend that I learned to in middle school, actually, who hated pennies. And he would throw them, like, on the ground. If he got a penny, he would just, like, chuck it and lose it. He lived with his grandparents. And one day, we were almost out of middle school, his grandfather presents this jar where he had been picking up these pennies and, like, collecting them. And he had, like, a sizable chunk of change. And he was basically taunting my friend Mark because he had collected these riches off of him. He had, like, scrimped and saved and then had, like, a good $6.50 in a jar.
Hold on. Just his. $6.50 or $650?
$6.50. But keep in mind, of course, this was the 80s.
Okay, but... That could still equal
Reaganomics.
That could still equal out to $6,500, and I still think all the work that went into picking up those pennies probably wasn't worth it. Peepers, your back is so shitty. How did your back get so wildly shitty, Peepers? I just picked up $6.50. That'll pay for my back surgery, won't it? No, it won't. Try adding another $14,994 to that. And then we can probably talk about back surgery. You fool. I can't believe we won the Great War.
With you. With you and your ilk. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to our program. We hope you've had a lot of fun. Want to let you know we're going to be doing a live broadcast of our program, My Brother, and Me. Home for the Candle Nights, a holiday spectacular. That's going to be in Huntington, West Virginia. We have sold 430 tickets, believe it or not. And we want you to be there. Travis, you made a bit.ly link, but I can't seem to scrounge it up. Do you remember what it was?
It is bit.ly/CandleNightsLive.
Okay, bit.ly/CandleNightsLive, and you're going to be able to go see that show. Now, maybe you're thinking, hey, I don't live near West Virginia. I can't do that. Let me tell you some of the places where we have sold tickets. We've sold 12 in Tennessee, 23 in Virginia, 38 in Pennsylvania, 15 from North Carolina, 15 from Maryland, 44 from Kentucky,
Fuck.
18 from Illinois, 8 from Georgia, 2 from Florida, 3 from Connecticut, 2 from Colorado, and 2 from Switzerland.
What the fuck?
So I think
that probably you can come.
No presh, but if we don't fucking all three of us turn into mirror balls on the stage and shoot light out of every pore from our body and hover around 15 feet in the air and give everybody $5,000, then I don't think that this show is going to be as good as these Swiss people think it's going to be. Oh, boy. We'll do our best. If it makes you feel any better after the show, we'll probably get drunk with everyone and just get, like, blitzed.
So that's nice.
So that might be fun.
So go see that. bit.ly/CandleNightsLive. I don't know what we're going to do that would live up to what we how far people are coming, but it will be popping off.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
We want to say
out afterwards and all that good stuff. And Sawbones also will be opening, so fans of that program should come too.
I want to say thanks again to NatureBox, where you can order great tasting wholesome snacks. If you haven't already, please go to naturebox.com/mybrother and sign up to get your own free sample box. What are you waiting for? Go now, you fools.
They're free. I want to thank John Roderick. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can listen to that for free at the beginning and end and a little bit in the middle of our podcast. So again, more free shit for you.
I want to thank people tweeting about the show, like Hoff Guy, Sierra F., Terry Bogard, Heather S., Cloudwork, Tara Nielsen, Fox, Ovens, Christine Sondry, Lauren Vulcan, Calvin Hollick, Nick Jensen, Kim Steens, Steins? Maybe Steins. Quad Likes, so many others. That is actually a YouTube-like notification engine.
Speaking of YouTube, we just put up a new animated short from Tyler Crowley, and it's so good.
It's the shitty Iron Man bit, which is like, I don't know about you guys, but that's one of the funniest things that Griffin has done on the show. I love his rants.
So, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. We are MBMBAM on YouTube. If you have seen it and you like it, please share it. It's the fastest way to get new people onto our YouTube channel and to make more videos and stuff is if you share it and then get new subscribers and everything like that. We'll put out more and more stuff.
Please. Please. This is an earnest please.
Please.
Please. We done?
Yeah, I think we're done. That cartoon, by the way, has 3,296.
Fuck yeah.
Which is about a million too few.
Let's get Robert Downey Jr. to tweet that, and then we're done. We can retire.
Oh, and check out all the other shows on MaxFun. They're incredible.
Oh, that goes without
saying, but I assume you're
What's our featured show?
Let's say this week's featured show is Throwing Shade.
Throwing Shade. A man and a woman. I'm not sure if they're a couple. I think they might be a couple. They talk about women's issues and gay issues. I'm not sure what gives them the right, but sure. And Throwing Shade is actually really, really, really funny.
It's super good.
If you like this show, you'll like Throwing Shade.
I know They Might Be Giants are a fan of Throwing Shade, so hey, that's enough for me. I think that's going to do it.
Final Yahoo.
Final Yahoo.
It was sent in by Ashley Burghart. Thank Burghart. She sent in a lot, too. Game recognized game. I'm sorry, I can't say your last name. Thank you, Ashley Burghart. It's by Yahoo Answers user James, who asks, when astronauts go to space, why don't they run into stars?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported. Hi, my name is Hrishikesh Hirway, and I have a podcast called Song Exploder. In each episode, a musician takes apart one of their songs and piece by piece tells you the story of how it was made. You get an inside look into the creative and technical process and a unique view of a song by hearing just the drums, or just the guitars, or say, just a Wurlitzer piano. If you're a fan of music, if you make music, or if you just like to learn how things are made, come check it out on MaximumFun.org. Thanks.